Now and Scratching Time, Ron Duffacy and Mike Fraser join us next.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Defence says no Australians were hurt during a pair of terrorist bomb attacks which injured six international peacekeepers in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. Two roadside bombs injured four US members of the multinational force and observers, plus two others whose nationality wasn't disclosed. 25 Australian troops and the same number of New Zealanders serve with MFO, a non-UN peacekeeping mission founded in 1981 to oversee the agreement that ended conflict between Israel and Egypt. A second report recommending changes to proposed citizenship laws could be released as early as next week. Parliament's Intelligence Committee released its report yesterday into a government bill to allow dual nationals involved in terrorism to be stripped of their Australian citizenship. The head of Parliament's Intelligence and Security Committee, Dan Tehan, says it has recommended changes in the legislation that would allow it to be applied retrospectively in some circumstances.
Making any law retrospective is not something that any Parliament does lightly.
An inquest into the 1969 disappearance and suspected murder of beauty pageant hopeful Lucille Butterworth has heard the first of 4 weeks' evidence, including an emotional statement from her brother. Ms. Butterworth was aged 20 when she was last seen at a suburban Hobart bus stop on August 25, 1969. Investigators believe that thinking she had missed her bus, Ms. Butterworth accepted a ride with someone she knew and was killed that night. Eight police officers, including the head of detectives and the Kuta police station chief, have admitted being involved in a scheme to extort money from a group of Australian men attending a Bucks Week in Bali. So far, 12 people have been investigated. The plot was initiated by the head of the detectives unit, and the police station chief, who had been on the job just 4 days, was persuaded to go along. Four of those investigated have been cleared of wrongdoing. Still overseas, and Thai police say neither of the two men detained over the deadly bombing of a Bangkok shrine last month are believed to be the main bombing suspect. The pair, who've been identified as Adem Karadag and Yusufu Mirali, but whose nationalities remain unconfirmed, are thought to be part of a group responsible for the attack. Their arrests had been seen as a breakthrough, but police now say neither is thought to be the man wearing a yellow T-shirt who was captured on CCTV placing a rucksack under the bench at the Erawan Shrine. The United Nations has waded into the migrant crisis, urging Europe to accept up to 200,000 refugees. The head of the UN Refugee Agency says EU nations must work together to help people fleeing violence. Nick Harper reports from the UN headquarters in New York.
UN High Commissioner for Refugees Antonio Guterres says the crisis needs a massive common effort. He says EU countries need a common strategy rather than a country-by-country fragmented approach. He also points out that this is primarily a refugee crisis, not only a migration phenomenon, saying the vast majority are seeking refuge, having fled conflict zones. The UN estimates 300,000 people have crossed the Mediterranean so far this year, with more than 2,600 dying in the process. Nick Harper, Air News, New York.
Also in news, a teacher has been arrested for allegedly crashing a drone into an empty section of seats at the US Open in New York during a second round women's match. This is Air News. West Coast coach Adam Simpson says he hasn't given any thought to the prospect of recruiting Geelong ace Steve Johnson next year. Johnson could be on the lookout for a new club after announcing today he won't play on for Geelong next year. The 32-year-old will weigh up his options over the coming weeks, but Simpson doesn't want to commit on the situation while the Eagles are focused on the finals. The Sydney Roosters have put an exclamation point on their NRL season with a 30-0 demolition of rivals South Sydney as they claimed their third straight minor premiership. The Roosters were ruthless in their 5 tries-to-nil shutout of the Rabbitohs, but it may have come at a cost with 5/8 James Maloney put on report for tripping. It's the Roosters' 12th straight win, and they finished the season 2 points clear of second place to Brisbane.
Second nil and third trialist game for us, so they're important. And we did want to put in a good defensive performance tonight before we got into the semis. So, good start. It was nice to finish on that note.
Roosters coach Trent Robinson on the ABC. Kim Crowe has booked a place at the Rio Olympics. Now it's time to win back her single sculls world title. The Australian comfortably won her semi-final yesterday at the Rowing World Championships in France to advance to Sunday's final. Only needing to finish in the top three to assure the boat will head to Brazil next year, Crowe led all the way through to the medal race as the fastest qualifier. Also in sport, Jo Wilfried Tsonga and Venus Williams are both through to the next round of the US Open tennis. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
We've got a fair bit of fog around the city at the moment. That'll clear to a partly cloudy day. Winds, well, they're going to be first up south to southwesterly, and then mid-afternoon they'll become south to southeasterly. Tomorrow, a shower or two, possible showers Monday and Tuesday. Today, though, a partly cloudy day. It's pretty nice out there outside the fog. We're looking for a top of 21.
Racing HQ Saturday is brought to you by TAB's Cash Out, which now allows you to eject early on your multi. Find out more at tab.com.au or on your mobile.
It's our biggest race day of the week, so welcome to our biggest Racing HQ of the week. Racing HQ Saturday. Yeah! Proudly brought to you by TAB. Visit tab.com.au. Here's Andrew Bensley. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, good morning everyone. For those that are joining us out of the 7 o'clock news, welcome to Chelmsford Stakes Day and Bart Cummings Tribute Day out at Randwick for the Australian Turf Club. It's Saturday, September 5. Track out there, well, overall it's a soft 7, except for the area between the 600 and the 450 where they've deemed it a heavy 8. So a heavy 8 for the 600 to the 450, a soft 7 for the remainder. The overall penetrometer, 5.96. Newcastle, heavy fog there this morning. Track is a soft 6. Moonee Valley, overcast and cool, it's a good 4. Doomben, fine and sunny, it's a good 3. They're our track reports as we see them right now. A big Saturday coming up, and Ron Duffers is a part of our spring team. Morning to you, Duff.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. I'm really looking forward to getting out to Randwick today. It's the weather's cleared. So unfortunate we had that inch of rain early Friday morning. It was unexpected, unexpected. Yeah. So it's thrown the form up in the air a little bit, but we'll adjust to the situation, hopefully, and find a few winners.
Well, it was going to be 2 or 3 mil, and we end up with 29.
Yeah, that's right. They said, 2 mil, 3 mil here or there, and bang, it just hit us.
Yeah, it's remarkable, Mike Fraser. When we put RANDWICK on a race guide, it just wants to rain.
And then you put in brackets group day, and then it really does make it
rains more.
It certainly does. Yeah, good morning, guys. But it has dawned a beautiful day. There's no doubting that. I heard you speak to Nevesh earlier, said there was a little bit of a dew around the track. But good to hear he said that, the track's a soft 7 and a good possibility that it may dry a little more. Unfortunate we've got that slightly heavy section at the 600. But when I walked the track Friday morning after we had that rain, I thought they had the assessment pretty much spot on. It was in definitely that heavy 9-ish range. As I said, it's good to hear that it's dried out. I think the track will play, being the 8-metre rail, that's generally the crown of the track. So I think the fence is going to be all right. I don't think you'll have to sort of stick to the inside all day. I think they'll be able to move around a little bit in the straight, especially the last 250 metres. It seems more even from that point to the winning post.
It's a strange reading of the track. Usually they just rate the track to the worst part, which would be a heavy 8. And today, I don't think I've seen it where they're saying heavy 8 from the 6 to the 450 and a soft 7 the remainder. So yeah. Is it an 8 or is it a 7?
And the funny thing about that too, Ronnie, is whenever I walk the track from that 650 or from the 800 back to the home turn, there's never really been an issue there. So I'm just wondering why that is wetter this time, obviously.
That's just a problem area, maybe.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah.
Coming around the bend. We can talk to Ray Murray. He'll join us at 8 o'clock when he goes through the stewards. He obviously has walked it and will be able to update us a little bit more. The scratchings, I'll give you these in numbers at this stage. Race 1, you can take out 1, 4 and 9. 1, 4 and 9, they were all out yesterday. Race 2, number 4, Test of Shadows, come out this morning.
There's an important one just come out, I'll tell you that.
Righto, race 2, number 4. In the third, it's clear. Race 4, number 1, English. Number 1, Race 5, number 9, Fell Swoop, number 9. Race 6 at the moment is clear. The one Ron has mentioned is First Seal. It has just come out on vet certificate. We'll update more on this in a moment. Race 7, number 9, First Seal is out. And race 8, 4, 8, 10, 12 and 13 were all out in the last couple of days. 4, 8, 10, 12 and 13. So just out officially is First Seal. Race 7, number 9, we'll get some explanation on that for you in the next few minutes. With Ron Duffy and Mike Fraser, our first guest is Tony McAvoy. In fact, Duffy rang up, he said, I want to go on first. Of course. Want to be the first one.
He's a busy man.
Well, here he is, Tony McAvoy. Morning, mate.
Good morning. I say that in front of my horses as well, so they're listening.
Don, Shiraz today, everything okay with him? He's a little 28-day freshen.
Yeah, really good run. He's a pretty easy horse to put the polish on, Ronnie. He's a big, light-fleshed, athletic bugger, and he doesn't take a lot of training, which is why we're able to do this sort of stuff with him. But he's got his game face on. He's about his right weight, and he's ready to go.
Probably the wet tracks helped his cause in the fact that he's back from 1,200 metres here. Just takes a little bit of speed out of these speedsters up front.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Duron. When I heard that it was going to be heavy, even though, look, he handles the heavy, but Hugh Bowman said when he won on him the other day, look, he got to it, but he felt that he didn't handle the ground that well. So that was a very interesting comment, and one that I respect, of course. And but it'll make it, they won't be too missed for him today now, that's for sure.
Mm. One thing in his favour, what I've noticed about him, he's just got a little bit of a will to win, this horse. You know, like they had him the other day and he just wanted to win.
Yeah, well, you've watched as many straight races as me, Ron, and when they pull like they do, like he did, and then came out probably 100 metres early to be exposed and then to fight back, they've got to want it like he did. But it was fantastic.
Race 1, Sass and Kyle, second up 2,000 metres, looks more suitable for him.
Yeah, a little bit of an aggressive play going straight to the 2,000. I was going to bring him to Melbourne and run him in a 1,700 at Flemington. But I gave him some work and he's tightened up and he looked forward enough for me to go to the 2,000. But it will test him today, as a warning. He'll run really well. He's come back sweet for the horse. But this one will bring him on in leaps and bounds.
Okay, and last which? Race 2, any expectations first up?
Probably, he's going better than ever. He's a little bit in between coats, but I just can't see him winning a mile, that's the only thing, but he's going well enough to win, but I think he's going to need further run.
Mm-hmm. A couple in Melbourne, big memory, did enough first up, should be running on again.
Yeah, look, it was a very good run, actually. If you consider that he jumped into the side of the barriers and we ended up last, and I expected him to be two or three lengths closer, And he's been beaten 2 lengths. I thought the run showed to me that he's competitive with those horses. And he loves Mini Valley. Like, there's 2 runs at the Valley. He won the Frank Tawney Cup there, and then he was most unlucky in the JRA Cup.
What do you think what is his race, this preparation?
Look, my plans with him are to get him to the Met Properties 4th run, and then the Caulfield Cup. He proved to us twice now, he's proved to me that 2 miles not his go, but he's effective at 2,500. So they're nice goals for him. But if he happened to win today, that all might change because his handicap days might struggle a bit after that.
Mm. Your other runner today is Don't Tell Mama, finds herself in a tough race, second up from a wide draw.
Yeah, exactly. Probably needed to draw one to give her a chance against this lot. It's an aggressive placement with her, but I need to find out. She's a nice filly. She's a full sister, risen from doubt. Goes very nicely, but she'll be ridden patiently today, and she'll find it tough today.
Happy with Alpine Eagle?
He just galloped 10 minutes ago. Mark Zara came out a ride on him for me here at Flemington, Ron, and he's... arrived well, galloped nicely, needed the gallop, it cleaned him up a little bit. It'll be, that gallop will have him as good as he can be for next week.
Beautiful.
All right. Good luck today, mate. Hope they all run well for you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Tony. Tony McAvoy joining us there. Famous Seamus has come out. Now, I'm going to say that's the track condition.
Yeah.
Race 7, number 2, Famous Seamus. So a couple of these coming out. As you say, it's a soft 7 for the majority, a heavy 8 from the 600 to the 450. So Famous Seamus has come out. Repeating First Seal has come out as well of the Tramway, Race 7, number 9. We're hoping to chat with John Thompson in just a tick to get an explanation. In fact, Ron, he's online. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Oh, John, you've just texted me saying it's that hoof again.
Yeah, she's trotted out a bit scratchy this morning again. Pulse in the foot. I'm out.
You were saying on Thursday at the launch that there was a hole in the area?
Well, she's got a hole in where the abscess busted out last time, and just with the wet weather the last couple of days, whether that's got reinfected, but I don't know, but time will tell. But yeah, we're not going to muck around. Going to get an MRI done on the foot on Monday just to find out exactly what's going on in there, and we'll go from there.
It's probably not the end of the world, John. You know, like there's plenty of races over spring, and you know, if it is just a little abscess problem, you can get over these things.
You can, but I got to say it's very frustrating to have it going so well through the week and have to scratch again. It's pretty disappointing. Although the track's been put out a heavy 8, but I think it will improve through the day. Nice day. There's plenty of races left in the spring, so hopefully we can get on top of it quick and get going again.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you just don't want to find anything extra in the MRI, do you?
Well, that's why we're doing it. You know, it just seems, a little bit odd that, you know, when you get passed out of a foot, normally you're, you know, it's clean sailing, and to be clean sailing for, you know, nearly 10 days, you know, you think she should be pretty right. But, we need, the horse she is, we need to, spare no expense and get to the bottom of it so we know exactly what we're doing and how to treat it.
For sure. Other runners today, Dragon Flyer, he's right at his peak in race 2. Are you expect him to hold his form?
I do, Ron. He's going super. He's really in a great frame of mind at the moment, real purple patch. And, you know, his last two runs have been, you know, fantastic. So he's given no indication he's not going to run below that again. And, he's going great. I like his chances today.
Tremec, start off race for him in race 6?
Yeah, he'll probably run a nice last. But,
he's done that before.
It just needs to get some miles into his legs to get up to his right distances.
Hooked. He can be competitive at this level.
Look, he's going super. He's big gross, though. He'll need the run, I think, to trim him down. And a heavy track probably doesn't help him. But I think he's in for a great prep. I think he's really, you know, back to his old self. And he go to Newcastle after this run, he'll be a super chance there. But he'll still run well today.
Another prayer, one runner in Brisbane. Any hope, race 3?
Back on a dry track, brings her right into it again. But she's each way chance.
And 4 runners at Newcastle, any chances there?
I think it's in the 3rd. Little Red Shoes goes little runner. 900 metre race, should run a play.
Beautiful.
Okay. Good luck to you, John. I hope I hope you don't find anything and you can just get it right and get moving. But bad luck with First Seal today, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, John. John Thompson there. You can hear it, can't you?
Oh, you can hear the frustration.
It's the star of the show. His stable's going so well at the moment too. You know, really thinking putting a saddle on that's is running well. Another winner yesterday, and he's had his stable's up and running. So. Yeah. You need your stable stars, you know, with no problems at this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, sadness, of course, earlier on the week, Sunday morning, when we woke to the news that Bart Cummings had passed away. But I think that the Cummings family have been, I'm going to use the expression, blown away with so much discussion about the history of their, whether it be dad, grandson, whatever. It's been an extraordinary week. The funeral is on at St Mary's Cathedral on Monday, which you would say people will come from all around the world, particularly New Zealand, to come here, Ron. It's going to be a huge send-off for Bart on Monday.
Yeah, there won't be many bigger, I can tell you that much. It's going to be a massive celebration of the great man's life.
And today out there at Randwick, they've got condolence books. They've got a special race book with memories of Bart and Saintly, who's at the age of 23, will be installed 23, and people will be able to see him, and he'll do a special parade in the Theatre of Horse around the minute silence time, around 1:25. But he was a special horse for me at my age. I was about 17, 18, 19. I could have been a bit older than that, but... It was a special horse for Bart when he won the Cox Plate in the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, for sure. He was a ripping horse, all quality, and a class horse, a champion.
Amazing when somebody of this stature passes away, or someone close to racing, that the name throughout the week just churns out winner after winner. How often does that happen?
That is just unbelievable.
How often does it happen? I mean, I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but I think there's...
Well, Anthony had two last Friday and three yesterday.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
They're going that well. You can nearly have something on precedence today. Not that well.
I think even Darren Beeben couldn't get him home.
Yeah, and everything. Flying. Divine intervention there, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Gabrielle, or Gabby, Engelbrecht's online to give us an update on Kenny
Happy
Essendon.
Trainer.
Exactly. Always, I reckon you could wake up, see Gabby first up at the track, and she'd have that bubbling sort of enthusiasm.
Even making me blush now.
No, well, even despite the fact that it'd be 4:30 in the morning. Am I right?
I don't know.
Are you a struggler in the morning?
I bounce out most of the time anyway.
Well, you're bubbling on the 22nd of August after race one there at when Kenny Essence was getting held up down the straight.
Oh, yeah. wasn't quite as bubbly at that moment, but I was just more screaming for him to get out, but that's the way racing goes sometimes. So, we cop that and hopefully we'll have a bit more luck today.
But he did. He seemed to frank your opinion of him in that race.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I've always been very confident in his own ability, but to see him really step up to the mark last time and prove that he's very capable on dry ground as well as the wet, and he's capable in that grade, it just made me even more confident in him.
How's he done since that second start?
He's actually surprised me. I feel like I've got him better going into this race than I did into last start. His coat looks a lot better. He's got a bit more muscle tone. He's carrying himself better in his work. I think he's starting to really man up and turn into a pretty nice racehorse.
Okay. So, you ride him a little quiet again today?
Yeah, look, I'll leave it to Cathy. It's a small field, and I think so long as he's comfortable, whether we're midfield or a little bit further back, I'm not fussed. I'm not entirely worried about it, because I think he's got enough gate speed and he travels well enough in his races that wherever he needs to be in the best position is fine by me. So long as it's not out of his comfort zone, then I'm pretty flexible with that.
Okay. Sometimes at this time of year, these early three-year-olds that have broke their maiden and they've showed a little ability in a group race, they're a target for offers, especially out of little stables. Sure. They snip away. Is this horse any offers for him?
Yeah, look, we've had a few offers. I mean, as you say, he's the perfect candidate for overseas. He's a young gelding that's rising through the grades very, very quickly. So, we've had offers. None have been significant enough to justify us selling him at this point. So, whenever these offers come along, you're still in not to consider them. And, we always discuss them, Kevin and I. So, look, yeah, but at this point, we haven't accepted anything for him.
That's hard for a stable like yourself, to give advice either way as well, because it's hard to get a horse like him.
Look, it is, but I think it's important that I you know, do the best thing by my client and advise him the best way possible. I mean, he's supported me with a lot of young horses. So, you know, worst case, I mean, as much as I'd be devastated to lose him to Asia, you know, we've got some really nice young horses coming through as well. And you know, for my own future career, it's important that I stay as professional as and as unbiased as I can. So, you know, you've got to take the emotion out of it, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so,
you do.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, well, I'll give him a cheer for you today.
Good luck
tonight.
Thank
you. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Gab. Gabby Engelbrecht there with Kenny Essent lining up in the Ming Dynasty. I'll talk about that race in a tick with you, Mike, but... Gee, the Chelmsford's been knocked around here. Messines come out. Race 7, number 4, and Strawberry Boy has come out as well. So out of the Chelmsford, you can take out 2 Famous Seamus, 4 Messine, 9 First Seal, and 10 Strawberry Boy. 2, 4, 9, and 10.
Probably the other ones we've got to look at with this wet track is Joe was sort of question mark with craftiness, and I think David Pfeiffer was a question mark with atmospherical. We don't want to lose them out of the Concord. You'd lose a lot of guts out of that race if that happened.
Well, we've got about 4 minutes, Ron, so we'll wait and see what they do. Mike, this Ming Dynasty, not a bad race. We've obviously spoken about Kenny Essent there. Kimberly Starr's been up through the winter. Vouliere, I heard, Ron, you've sort of been thinking the horse has got coped. Still hasn't come through 100%.
Yeah, he's still got that wintry look about him and that little bit of a pot belly on him. He's a funny horse to read. I'm finding it tough to judge his fitness levels. Maybe that's just him. He's one of those little short back horses who's always going to look like he's got a bit of a belly on him. But I'm interested to have another look at him today and see if he's starting to glow with a bit of sun on his back since his last run. And he looks a genuine improver, although he is fourth up. You're expecting him to be right at his top, but I'm not so sure whether he is.
How do you see it, Mike, this Ming Dynasty?
Oh, I think it's a race full of intrigue, really. I mean, you've obviously got Kenny Essent, the Gabby's horse there, that we're all hoping races well, and based on its only 2 starts, it's got plenty of ability. I heard Ronnie say on Thursday night, you know, that Tatoosh continues to race well. We've got Gerald Ryan's horse, Land's End, in 3 starts, hasn't really set the world on fire, but there's something about that horse. I'm sure he's got ability. And there's also this horse, Metallic Crown, another lightly raced horse that came through, won impressively at Canterbury last start. And, of course, you've got Kimberly Starr and Vouliere. I think it's a super competitive race.
It's got more guts than any race today.
Yeah,
you can make a case for any one of those runners.
Yeah, and moving forward, I think there'll be more winners to come out of this race. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
Pre-race favourite in the last has just come out, Start Wondering.
Wow.
Race 8, number 9. Joe Pride's just let me know that he's got all of his will be running, Ron.
Okay.
That's Joe Pride, and just waiting for a little message from David Pfeiffer. But Start Wondering is out of race 8, race 8, number 9.
Well, that's obviously a little problem with him. So
all right.
Set up beautifully for him.
We'll take a little break. Come back. We're going to be joined in the last half an hour of all our interviews with the players, O'Shea Waller, hopefully Gabe Waterhouse. And, Ron, I'm off and I want to talk to Helen Page. Can Rudy win?
Well, the wet track will help him. I'm interested to see what Helen probably thought of his first
up
run.
Hope he can win.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I've got your tip then.
She's, wouldn't be here unless she was very happy with him.
Yeah, we might have a chat with Helen if we can grab her in the next few minutes. It's 28 after 7.
Every morning at 10, it's Tab Talk on Sky Sports Radio. Our specialty program with all the latest in sports and racing. And the big names just keep on coming. Like basketballer Andrew Bogut.
You know, the body's, it is what it is. You're a professional athlete. We're paid to do this. So we know our body's not going to be, you know, feeling the best at 50, 60 years old. But that's all we get paid to do.
Plus, during this huge spring racing season, jockeys and trainers will pass on crucial information for a day's punting. For sports and racing markets, plus all the key players, catch Tab Talk every morning at 10 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches and rings. And they've been designing and making the grand final ring with passion for the last 17 years. For official NRL watches and jewellery, engagement or wedding rings, corporate gifts or remodelling and repairs, Z&Z's your place. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au. Proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and St. George Jr. referees.
We've been telling you for a good while about how much money you owe and you're not enjoying life, that sort of thing. Capital Debt Solutions is the brand that will help you. They've got this confidential government legislated agreement that they can discuss with you. It's interest free, it's tailored to your budget, and it gives you one regular weekly repayment. Capital Debt Solutions, come on, solutions for your financial freedom heading towards Christmas. Capital Debt Solutions. com.au or 1-300-107-155.
Bringing you your daily fix of racing news on Sky Sports Radio. This is Racing HQ.
It's 7:30 here on Racing HQ. Ron Duffersey and Mike Fraser are with us. Lots of things happening going into the spring. Today out there at Randwick, it's the TAB National Jockeys Trust Race Day. It's a luncheon hosted by Vince Sorrenti. Lots of people getting out there, Ron, corporate luncheons, all that sort of stuff. So good luck to everybody with the National Jockeys Trust luncheon out there. And Brett Devine's on line from the Australian Turf Club. Morning to you, Brett.
Yes, good morning, Andrew. Good morning to Ronnie and Michael there and all the punters. And what a sensational day weather-wise it is out there. Perhaps there's a special man upstairs that's helped us out with that weather this morning.
Yeah, we had a bit of fog around. Let's hope we can get away. And this track continues to improve with a bit of sunshine. Obviously, as we've spoken all about this week, the Australian Turf Club honouring JB Cummings today.
That's right, Andrew, and whilst it has been a sad week, you alluded to that, I guess it is also a chance to celebrate and see all the great things that Bart did and think about all those great things, and can there be no other greater horse for us to get out there than Saintly? It was great news for the club and for racing in Sydney yesterday to hear that that magical horse will be on course for the public to see and have their photo taken down at stall 23. He was 23 years old, or he is 23 years old, and he had 23 starts, so we thought that was a great place to put him. He'll be down at those race day stalls just at the back of the grandstand, and then he'll move out onto the front of the track for everybody to have a look as we have the minute silence for Bart just at around about 1:25 ahead of the race named in his honour today, the Bart Cummings Tribute Ming Dynasty Quality. There'll be condolence books in the members and the public concierge areas there in the grandstand to sign and give your tribute to Bart. There'll be, as we said, that minute silence around that race, but also Precedence, his magic, his great horse there, will lead the horse out for the Chelmsford Stakes, the main race of the day. So plenty of things happening out there, Andrew, too. We've even painted the grass in the famous green and gold diagonal stripes as a tribute to Bart. Lots of things happening. We send our condolences to the family, but we also say that this is the public's chance to get out there and support Barton Racing.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so plenty of stuff out there, and you mentioned the condolence books as well. Good on you, mate. Thanks for joining us. Lots of special things at Randwick. Tattersall's Club, Chelmsford Stakes Day today. We wish you the best out there, mate.
Thanks, Andrew, and good luck to everybody.
Brett Devine there from the Australian Turf Club. Ron? Star Stable.
Yeah.
They tell me you've done the ad this year.
Yeah. I went out to Gary Portelli Stable.
What about this, Mike? He's taken it over. He's doing the ads now with Brazzle.
Nothing's changed. It was a 20-second ad. It took 2 days without Gary Portelli's acting.
And what did you get for it?
5,000? Nothing. Nothing.
You wouldn't do anything for nothing.
Well, I don't usually, especially for big organisations like the Tabcorp, but they're such nice people.
That'll do me.
Yeah. Well
where do I sign?
Well, they're describing it as the whispers have already started. But you can now register by going to starstable.com.au. It goes from Epsom Day, October 3, through to Emirates Stakes Day, November 7, down in Melbourne. Lots of prizes, lots of detail. It's on starstable.com.au. When's the first run of the ad, Duff?
I suppose it'll be today. Well, maybe, hopefully it's ticked off.
Please, you know when it's going on.
No, I don't.
Oh, come on. Can't believe that. Just waiting for scratchings to go interim. All those scratchings out of the tramway, but they haven't gone interim at this stage. John O'Shea's now joining us. Morning to you, John.
How are you, mate?
Very well indeed. Where do we find you?
Warwick Farm.
Warwick Farm this morning. This track... heavy 8 from the 600 to the 450 and soft 7 the remainder. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting assessment of it and an accurate one at best. So just give us all a good guide as to where we're at. I'm lucky that most of mine are effective in it, so it doesn't pose any issues for us.
Big day for Godolphin. The big guns are stepping up. You'll be, you know, you're setting yourself up for a big spring, so you'd be anticipation would be high.
Oh, Duff, we could come home with a Sancho and Galosha tonight.
Yeah.
It could be an A-light, so we just want to go there and make sure that every horse has a good day out, lays the foundation for the rest of the carnival. And you know, if some of them happen to win, that's great. If they get beat, well, you know, as long as they have a good day out and they don't have, you know, the wrong start to their preparation.
Well, let's start from the top. Farolitos in race 2. We're a little bit dour first up, a little bit better suited here.
Much better suited here. He likes to roll along and control the race. The shorter trips where he can get cluttered up and doesn't quite suit him, but today he'll be able to roll forward and control the race from the first three, and I think it'd be very hard to beat. He ran very well in the Carbine Club on this similar ground, on a similar track, against a very good horse, and you know, he's not far off that mark. He's got good improvement in terms of his cope. His fitness levels are good, and I thought he'd run well.
Race 4, I thought Ottoman looked good odds. She's one only run on a heavy track. She seemed to be in a good rhythm in that trial recently, although not it wasn't a competitive trial. She just looked to be going through the motions well.
Yeah, I thought the assessment of the market was a bit strange there, to be fair, because those fillies contested each other all during the autumn, and I thought English and Ottoman had the better of them. So with English coming out, you know, she's got a beautiful draw. We just hope she jumps well. Mac will give her a lovely run in behind him. She's trained up beautifully, and you know, she's when you see her in the enclosure today, she's developed in a beautiful, big, strong filly. So yeah, she's got a nice chance.
Calaverite in the same race. 2 weeks, 5 weeks, two trials, 5 weeks between them. Any little issues there?
I just been keen to make sure. I just wasn't happy with the coat, and it's just started to come right now. And I think sometimes you go screwing them down and then just telling you they're not quite ready for it, you can ruin the whole spring. So we're just mindful to be conservative with her. And, you know, she's just started to come right in the last 7 days. So, I mean, the gate will compromise her winning chance today because we'll go back on her from there. But, you know, she's effective in ground and she's in great order. When you see her in closure, she's just starting to come right. So I'm very happy with her.
Okay, so in the run, you expect Ottoman to be in front of Calaverite?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then, Duff, the last time I said that, I didn't.
Things can happen in racing, can't they?
Yeah. Oh, I need to get some retribution there.
Yeah.
Hartnell. No pressure in this race. How does that affect him?
Oh, look, if you go to his second run last preparation, he drew a little bit awkward in a 10-furlong race at Rose Hill. And Mac just went roll with him for that first sort of furlong and got him into a rhythm. And once he got into a rhythm, he was beautiful, you know. And I think that's how I ride it today. We'll just go with him for the first furlong. And, you know, there's no point us dragging back there and following 100 to 1 mile, a quarter, you know, mile and a half or 2 milers. So you just have to go with him a little bit there today and get him into a rhythm. And he should land sort of the first six,
yeah,
you know, one off and just go from there, mate, you know.
Actually, it's probably an advantage with Pornochet drawing 11. He gets a push across somewhere, I suppose.
Yeah, no, we're not too worried about where he'll be. Mac tends to get him in, and I don't think that'll be any different.
Looks to be flying.
That he is, Duff. I don't think it, you know, I don't think there's any doubting that. But I will tell you that he's a good 15 kilos heavier than what he won first up last year at Warwick Farm in the mile race. He's got a different campaign out of him. You know, he's going to have 4 runs into a Melbourne Cup, whereas last year he was having 2 runs into a BMW. So it's different scenario this year. And, you know, when you see him in closed day, he's still got a bit of winter about him and he's carrying a bunch of condition, but he is flying. And, you know, he might be just too good for him, but he has got a significant improvement whatever he does today.
Any concerns about how aggressive he's been in the trial? That last trial?
Yeah, no, a little bit, but I think that's just a reflection of, you know, where I got him. He's just big and burly and fresh, you know, and we worked him in company on Wednesday, and he tagged along behind me, and he relaxed beautifully. So, yeah, and I think the fixed furlong trial just took the gas out of him a bit too, you know. So, I mean, he'll be right.
Complacent, looks in really good health, but probably needs more match practice.
Yeah, I mean, he'll go a lot better. I mean, I thought he was going to run all right the other day. You know, it's had a bit of an issue, but at half mile. But look, he'll run the first mile there today. He worked beautifully on Wednesday morning. Again, he'll sort of roll forward and be in the first six when in a race where there's not much tempo. And I think he's okay in the ground. He's in great order, and you know, he'll sort of set himself up for the spring after today, I would think.
All of a sudden, you're starting to look very strong in this tramway. Swain S hasn't won in a while, but you've booked James here, and you must think he's come up okay.
He's come up okay, but to be fair, Mac would have been on a rocky if he was a guarantee to run, you know. So we had to sort of apportion our jockeys relevant to who was definite to get a run, and consequently Mac ended up on Swain S. So he's in great order. He just, last preparation, a few little things didn't go his way. Particularly, you know, just in the preparation, he was able to gallop in that all the time, but he just little bits and pieces just didn't fall his way into at home, and consequently, he still raced very well, but this time he's just had an absolutely, you know, impeccable preparation. And so hopefully that'll reflect in his performance on Saturday.
It's somewhat got a little warm first up. Could he be competitive here?
I think he'll run much better today. He just got a little bit warm for the race the other day. Then he did a bit of work early in the race. Today he won't be doing much work. He'll get across without too much trouble. And he gets that jar out of the track he likes, you know. And I think you'll find he'll be a big improver today.
Well, this horse, Araki, wow. These two trials at Hawkesbury have been outstanding. You've gelded him this preparation. How forward is he?
Ronnie, I think, you know, again, he's a bit like Hartnell. I think he's flying, but when you see him in enclosed today, he's very wintry. He's just probably, he's just not ready to be really having a hard run today. Or be, you know, if he wins today, well, goodness me, but he's got a lot of improvement whatever he does today.
Okay.
His main goal is the Caulfield Cup, and we're really happy with the way he's going. We're really happy with his condition, but I've been very mindful with him that, you know, we really need to have him firing later on in the spring. So I'd be, you know, for me, I don't think he's a betting chance today. You know, I think he's just got so much improvement in him.
Don't disappoint me, John. Look, would you run him in an Epsom or something like that second up or anything like that?
Gnarly. Ideally he'll go to a fortnight over a mile and in the George Main, and then we'd make a decision whether he runs in the Epsom or the term. And I won't make that decision until he runs in the George Main.
Malice, two easy trials. Secondly, in a Doncaster Prelude, first up last prep.
Yeah, the ground won't be any good for him, but he needs to get started. We're happy enough where he's at, but, you know, he couldn't win in that ground.
Contributor, how do you read this race?
It's a little tricky for him because, you know, where he's drawn, and he just never steps real quick, Ronnie. And if Dwayne's not a little positive early, well, he could find himself in a real bugger of a spot, you know. So can't fault the horse. He's ready to run a great race, and I think he will run a great race, but we are going to need a little bit of luck early and a good ride from Dwayne to give him an opportunity to win.
Is he as good as last preparation?
I think both Contributor and Hartnell have improved, and improved significantly. When you see him physically, you'll understand why, and Contributor's, you know, physically made a dramatic improvement, and I'm sure it'll reflect in his performances.
Furnaces, interesting race to resume him in. Smart trial winner.
Yeah, well, I just think he's a slight query, a strong six, and so we've been adamant to find good races under that, you know. And if he's going to win a Group One, it's probably going to be in a month's time at a Moya. And, you know, three-year-olds traditionally in this race have had a good record. You go back to horses like Carroccio. And this horse has got a much stronger profile than him, you know. So he maps very well. He got around the valley very well. He's ready to run well. Strong two-year-old form. And I think it's sort of, if he's going to be competitive in the spring, he needs to finish out here today.
All right, well, let's hope it's a good day for the stable.
Oh, as long as they run well, Ronnie. We've got a long spring ahead, and we're happy with where they are, but got some nice chances to stay.
Okay. Good luck. Thanks a lot, John.
Cheers.
John O'Shea from Godolphin. We've got interim scratchings for Randwick for Tats Club Day. Race 1, number 1, Oriental Lady, 4 Frasers and 9 Justice Cosmic, 1, 4 and 9. Race 2, number 4, Tester Shadow and 7 Dance of Heroes, 4 and 7. The third clear, race 4, number 1, English, number 1. Race 5, number 9, Fell Swoop, number 9. Race 6 is clear, race 7, The Tramway. Take out 2 Famous Seamus, 4 Machine, 9 First Seal and 10 Strawberry Boy, 2, 4, 9 and 10. And race 8, 4 Maya Mirror, 8 Wine Tails, 9 Start Wondering, 10 Miss Ten Pins, 12 Marple Miss and 13 Ruling Dynasty. 4, 8, 9, 10, 12 and 13. They're the interim scratchings for Randwick today. Gay Waterhouse now joins us to talk about today's runners. Morning to you, Gay.
Morning, Andrew. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good to talk to you. How about that spring carnival launch on Thursday with everyone? It went off really well.
Seemed to get, we got a bit of a bounce about it. Very, very nice and lovely group of people that they had there. And the catering by the ATC was outstanding. They did it in the horse stalls and they had in between lovely little trees, very nicely done. It was really excellent. The little boat to Shandon, tiny little bottles of champagne with little flutes at the top. It was really cute.
We needed Ron there. There was so much food left.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
It was very nicely catered for.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, I can't wait to see a couple of these. Can I start backwards? Bohemian Lily seems to be flying, Gay.
Well, she certainly is, and with the rain-affected track being a Kiwi mare, I think it will suit her right down to the ground. She's going places. She's a mare I always thought might be a Caulfield Cup or Melbourne Cup horse. She's got a qualifier, and this is the first step into it.
You've got Arabian Gold. She looks ready to go, and she's looked very sharp at the trials, Gay.
Very much so, Ron. And they tell me she's got very good wet track form, and, she'll run very nicely. She's very forward. I've given her plenty of work and changed her work, and she seems to be thriving.
Ecuador resuming. How do you think he'll go?
Well, I think it's a very nice race for him. He seems to be a happy chap. He's a quirksome character. It depends what side of the bed he gets out on. But I think this is a nice race for him.
Pornichet should be in the finish again.
He certainly should. I think it could easily reverse the tables. He's thriving at present. He just looks joyous. He looks so beautiful. Glorious shining coat, good style of a horse. He's really going to give it a shake.
Speak Fondly. She must have pleased you with her first up win.
She's done everything right. She's a speed horse. She looks terrific, and the work has been faultless. I thought she could win this race.
And Kimberly Starr. Well, she's been very good this preparation.
Loves this thing out of the ground. I can't fault Kimberly. And this will be a much better distance for Ron. She's never been beaten at this distance. This filly's been in for 6 weeks and for 6 months. Yeah. But she's just thriving.
Tell me about this filly at Moonee Valley, Sweet Redemption. Sydney form reads well. She looks a progressive sort of filly.
Yes, look, she'll be good odds for any of the listeners that want to back her. I had her originally down to the Caulfield meeting next week, Ron, but I just thought Moonee Valley might suit her because, she just wanted to hang in a little bit in the work the other day, Vlad Druick said, and I thought if we get her at the valley and she gets that nice alley, she can get onto the fence and zip around.
Yeah, I understand that line. I think, Maya, have we still got your guy?
It just
crackled at the end. So the horse just hung in a little bit in track work.
You hang in sometimes in track work, don't you, Andy?
I normally hang out. I need all the help I can get, Gay. We just lost those last few words. That's why we wondered about that.
Remember that horses are going to different courses, and they're going around tracks they don't know when they come down from Sydney, or Melbourne horses coming to Sydney.
Yep.
And, you'd sooner them do it there than in the race, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, exactly. You're aware of it, and Vlad's aware of it.
Very much so. Well, look, happy racing. Good luck, everybody.
Good on you, Gay. Righto. Good luck today. Thanks a lot. Gay Waterhouse there running through the runners today, both Randwick and Moonee Valley with Sweet Redemption. The jackpot today, don't forget that as well. A $100,000 first four jackpot on the Chelmsford Stakes today. The Chelmsford Stakes are $100,000 first four at Randwick today. And I've mentioned Star Stable. And don't forget, Mike, the Duffersey machine just rolls on. Don't worry about just doing Star Stable, but the revamped Sunday show, new faces are on it, but Duff's still on it, called Thoroughbred Weekly. It's on tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, replacing the name of Racing Retro, Thoroughbred Weekly, 9 till 10, with Greg Radley stepping in. Fair dinkum, he can get a gig, Radley. Ron Duffersey, Richard Friedman, and tomorrow, Duff, two special guests.
Yeah, we've got Blake Shin and Bjorn Baker. They're not just special guests, they're going to be panellists for a while.
What, on every week?
Yeah, no expense spared.
I think I've come off it and they've replaced me with two.
Yeah, well, they could pay for two for one. You know, you'll take your wages out and just pay two of them, Andrew.
Anyway, it's looking forward to it. You'll be able to watch Thoroughbred Weekly 9 o'clock tomorrow morning on Sky Thoroughbred Central, and you can hear it as well if you're getting around the place on Sky Sports Radio. Chris Waller's joining us now at 10 minutes to 8. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Chris. Big day, 11 runners in the Chelmsford.
That's why I took a breath. I thought, oh, it's going to take us a breath to get through them.
I've got all the excuses ready to go, already laid out for each one, A, B or C.
Yeah, look, it's amazing. Well done. It's look, I know a lot of them are at stayers resuming, but it sort of lays a platform. Like I've heard you say that you've got a few of your Melbourne Cup horses starting off here. You know, who shot the barman? Let's start with him. He's really caught the eye at the trials and looks to have come up really well.
Yeah, he ran terrific last preparation first up. I think he ran fourth and maybe the Chipping Norton or a similar type race. That's just the horse he is. He's a real competitor and, yeah, he's come back terrific, and this year is the first time I've been really excited about a Melbourne Cup. We've got, I think, three genuine chances. They're all running today, and they be Who Shot the Barman, Preferment, and obviously Grand Marshal, and then Opinion's going to be there as well, and who knows, something else might happen, but I can make a case for each of those three as to why they could be fighting out the finish in a Melbourne Cup.
Okay. It'd be nice if that plane didn't arrive from Japan, though. Like, it'd be a bit of a help.
Or anywhere around the world, I think, would be a help. It's a bit harder now. It's crazy. I looked at the Caulfield Cup weights the other day and hoped my horses had enough weight to get a start. So that's the first thing. Second thing, now I have to hope they haven't got too much weight, because gone are the days where you can win with a lightweight.
Yeah, for sure.
I reckon he might drop away a bit, the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah.
International.
Hope so.
Yeah. Okay, we spoke about the four stayers there. Beaten up, he was terrific first up.
Yeah, he was. He runs not on fear, but he just goes. He goes pretty keen. I think that's why he sort of raced so well first up. Second up last prep, he failed, but we did take him down to Melbourne, and that was after a really long break. So this time he's only had the short break, and he looks like he's come back really, really well. And I would put him in as probably our third chance as an upset.
Yeah. Moriarty, I read you're setting him for Perth again.
Yeah, and just, I think he won the Craven Plate on Epsom Day last year, the same type of race for him, Janoo, Hawkspur, I'm Imposing, all of those four, that's their target. A Group 3, Group 2 type weight for age race. Unfortunately, they're sort of beyond handicaps now, hence the reason why they're running today. But they've been great for connections and the stable, and if we can have them peaking second, third up, they're going to win some good prize money for their owners.
Okay, well, let's talk about Kermadec. He's obviously should have taken benefit from that first up run. He looks in really good shape.
Yeah, today's an important day for him. You'd just like to see him improve a little bit, tighten up a bit in the yard and yeah, be really aggressive at the finish. It's a big, important race for him today. And he'll go 2 weeks into the George Main, but he needs to be showing us that he is the horse to follow for the spring if he's going to get anywhere near a Cox Plate. That needs to be shown today.
Mm. Obviously, he has limited wet track experience, but the one little run on the wet track, it was a Doncaster handicap win.
Yeah. He hasn't had many race starts. You guys know just as much as I do about the horse, and I guess if anything, that draw mightn't be as significant today on the soft track. And it's good to have someone like Glenn aboard that knows the horse well. And yeah, we just want to see a good display today.
Loophole race one. We know he loves the track and distance. Can he do it again?
Hey, you've just got to go back to Royal Descent.
Oh, sorry, Royal Descent. How dare I?
Queen of the stable. Right?
Yeah, she's maybe the best mare in Australia. Look, she's off a win. Can she do it again?
I think she can. She's just come back so well. Like, I thought she was a bit heavy first up, but she raced all so well. And look, Port of Shea was there. Kermadec was there. She beat them fair and square. Soft track won't worry her. Mile, as you said, she could be the best miler in the country. Mm. She's close to it in all these handicap races she's been performing so well in, as well as Queen Elizabeth and things like that. So this really could be her preparation.
Would you be concerned if he led on her?
I would be, because Port of Shea would be breathing down our neck, driving us mad. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather just sit off Port of Shea or something along those lines, because, as you know, with gaze horses, they're always very fit, but they're not afraid to go a bit early, and it can quite often soften you up.
Mm. None of your other horses could go forward here, could they?
No, definitely not.
Okay, let's go back to Lupo. We know he loves the track and distance. So can he do it again?
I think so. He's just racing in terrific form. He's all types of surfaces as well. So he's become a foolproof horse. And he's settling well, so these riders can now take up a position on him. Glenn Schofield has done a terrific job on him, but went to Melbourne after winning on him and can't get back on because Jimmy said he's not going anywhere. So they can fire him up now and he settles and then just races so honestly in his finishes. So it was changed horse.
Winetails, obviously no luck last time. Is she ready to go with the mile at 60 with 60 kilos?
Yeah, I think so. I will say I think this is the end of her distance range. Mm-hmm. She's one of those horses that's always going to look like she's going to get further, but I thought she was a bit soft in her 2,000-metre races in the autumn. So I think the mile's as far as she needs, but it should really suit her racing style. It should mean that she's not out of her comfort zone the first half of the race, like she's been in the first couple of runs, and she should be able to track into it nicely and be really strong at the finish.
Metallic Crown, he bounced back with a dominant win at Warwick Farm, and he gets a wet track again today, which is probably a tick.
You know, I'm hoping that wasn't just the reason why he won last start on the wet track, but at least we'll have a competitive horse today. It is a step up in grade, but I can't fault the horse. And we had high expectations of him before his first couple of runs, and then obviously that rap came off him pretty quick. But it was good to see him lease back in winning form.
Race 7, this Flamingo Star's an interesting runner. It's his second Aussie prep. Look, he's a horse, obviously you like. You took him to Brisbane and you're running, you know, first up in a Doomben 10,000.
Yeah, he's a little bit difficult to place. He's got fairly high rating, and had we not run him there, he would have been running around with probably 62 kilos. So we took the punt, and I think it came off. He didn't win any prize money in that race, but it just taught him to be a racehorse, and that's what they need when they come to Australia, and I think that's why we see them improve so much in their second prep. So he's in that second preparation now, and yeah, I think he's a genuine Epsom chance. He is still a colt. I'm not convinced about these European horses while kept colts, but he's simply shown us enough to keep him as a colt, because obviously if he wins at Epsom, he's worth some money. So now we're looking forward to today's race, and I think he's very capable of getting to that next level.
Must be disappointing. We lost Wondering out of the last race today. Is that everything?
Yeah, he's got a virus.
Okay.
Well, something's not right with him. I'm just not happy with him. And that's the reason why he trialled well, and then we missed running him. I think he was scratched a couple of times early on as well. And yes, I don't think his immunity system's where it needs to be just yet, and I'm not going to risk him. And he's actually going to go to the paddock for a few weeks.
Okay. You must be happy with Saddler's Lake. Jeez, jumped to you. He looked really good at the trials.
Yeah, very good. Just the one trial, that's my only concern. But if he didn't run today, he would have been having a second trial on Tuesday, and then going to a mile first up. So I'm more than happy to run him over at 1,400, but I just think he's going to improve with the run, fitness-wise. He still looks a bit big.
Haven't been as hot on Ballet Sweet's trials.
Nah, she's been naughty in the barriers. First trial, terrible. Second trial, she was fidgety. And did finish off okay on a heavy track, a really heavy track, which is not her favourite surface.